May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 262. Thou fountain of bliss, thy smile I entreat. O'erwhelmed with distress, I mourn at thy feet. The joy of salvation, when shall it be mine? The high consolation of friendship divine. Hymn 262.
Thank you. from the Word of God. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, and reading together from chapter 5. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, reading together from chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us and help us to call upon his name at the throne of grace. O Lord, our God, once more we appear before thee in the means of grace, but in thy presence, Lord, what holy, just and true, how can we approach unto thee, O Lord our God? Sinners indeed, we feel it to be so. Oh, but we do thank thee, Lord, oh, for that mercy in Jesus Christ, his precious blood, that cleansing, healing balm, and oh, to reconcile the sinner unto God the Father. Oh, that the sinner should know the blessed and glorious union of spiritual adoption, and that we are the children of God. And oh, this is our only plea, that thou wilt look down upon thy people as thou dost see them in the righteousness of Christ. And oh Lord, we do thank thee for this mercy. But oh Lord, we desire to come before thee seeking, Lord, that holiness and godliness in our poor hearts. Oh, do prepare us each through thy Spirit. Oh, may we be sober before thee. May we be found as that poor man at thy feet, in his right mind. And oh, we do pray, Lord, as he was truly one who praised and blessed thy name for the great things that he had done on, that thou hadst done unto him. So, Lord, we have no other plea but what thou hast done and wrought in us by and through thy Spirit and power. O Lord, help us then to serve thee and to worship thee. And Lord, may it be that thou wilt visit each one of us this evening hour, and in particular, Lord, by and through thy word and thy truth and thy gospel grace, we do pray, apply thy word to us through the Spirit. And oh, we do pray that we might receive at thy hand those gracious tokens of thy special love, those tokens in the way that we're born of God, those tokens in the way that we are each found in the narrow way that leadeth unto life. O Lord, we do believe that there are those here whose desire is to be found in that new and living way. O Lord, we do pray, come in thy salvation. Draw sinners to thyself by thy resistless grace. Change them and renew them. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that this house may indeed be a house of those that fear thy name. What a mercy, Lord, truly it would be, a sanctuary indeed of men and women set apart for the glory of thy name, to worship thee and to serve thee. O Lord, we do pray, come in the riches of thy grace and do work, we pray thee, powerfully in each heart, and bring sinners to thyself. Nothing is too hard for thee, Lord. And oh, that there may be that believing faith that thou art able, Lord. Believe that I'm able to do this. Lord, we do pray, come and bless sinners that they might rejoice in thy salvation. We do thank thee, Lord, for all thy care, thy watchfulness over us, and that thine eye is ever upon and towards thy people, for the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest indeed be pleased to, Lord, watch over this gathering, that thou wouldest be pleased to send forth Father, Son, and Spirit in the midst, that we may be blessed indeed and know our God to be a God in covenant with his people, a God who will keep and preserve them. It was thy servant David's only plea, coming to the end of his days, seeing so much in himself, in his family and in himself, Lord, that was indeed his sins, the solemn truth, Lord, of his life, and Lord, the evil that dwells within betimes, though my house be not so with God. Oh, what mercy that he was able, Lord, to cleave and to lay hold of that covenant that was made for him, a covenant ordered in all things and sure. And Lord, this was his only hope to bring him through his course. His poor soul indeed hung upon the blessing. And oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God in covenant with each of thy people. And oh, that covenant, Lord, has sealed each of thy people into the covenant by and through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Lord, this is our mercy. Our mercy as we journey on. Lord, that we're brought day by day to feel besetting sins, vain thoughts, imaginations, poor hearts that become wayward and gathered to all manner of thing. And oh, thou knowest, Lord, how that we are brought to confess so much before thee. We cannot keep our poor minds stayed upon thee. Thou knowest. Oh, but Lord, how that mercy that flows through thy precious blood. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do, Lord, hear our prayers and our petitions as we, Lord, come before thee and commit our all to thee. We do thank thee then, Lord, for thy care, thy keeping and preservation towards us. We are brought thus far in thine ever merciful hands. And, O Lord, may we be brought truly thankful before thee. O Lord, who could bring us thus far? 'Tis only thou. We have no one else to look to, no one else indeed to rest upon or put all our trust in, only in thyself, the rock Christ Jesus, to bring us through our course. And so, Lord, be with us, Lord, and keep us each unto thyself. Rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And teach us, Lord, how to serve thee and to worship thee and to be enabled in our path here below in a poor and imperfect way, but to glorify thee, Lord. Oh, do help us in these things. And we do pray, Lord, that the blessing of the gospel may continue to be preached in this thy house of prayer. Oh, we do pray, Lord, oh, that thy sent ministers indeed may be helped to preach the everlasting gospel. Oh, that that word through thy Spirit may be made effectual and powerful in the hearts of thy people here, and that they may, through the word, be enabled to rejoice in thy salvation, in thy gracious and precious promises, which thou hast laid up for them that love thee. And oh, we do pray, Lord, we may each be enabled this evening hour to be blessed indeed with tokens of thy love, tokens of heaven, Lord. We're journeying on. Every day, Lord, is a day nearer to that eternal rest We do not know, Lord, when that day shall appear, when we shall depart this earthly scene. 'Tis known unto thee. But, O Lord, we do pray that we may know that faith in our hearts to live upon thee and to serve thee all our days. And so, Lord, help us to journey on, and that we may be enabled to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we pray then, be our helper to bring us all our journey through. Thou hast been a help to us thus far, and all our help is found in Jesus. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, O one that has been raised up from amongst the people, even the Lord Jesus Christ, my servant Paul, in all his troubles through the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. How could he come forth to that time? O Lord, thou didst appear for him so many times and so many occasions. All his help was in thee. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou dost bless thy people with that help of faith and grace and the fear of the Lord in our hearts. And also, Lord, blessing that belongs to thy people, even that patient waiting upon thee in all things. O Lord, what helps thou dost give to us in the way. How could we continue, Lord, unless it was by thy gracious hand to bring us through our course, all our trials, all our difficulties, all our afflictions, our troubles here below. We do thank thee, Lord, although all these things are appointed for us, and yet, Lord, thou wilt not leave thy people to go forth alone, but thou wilt bless them with the graces of thy Spirit, faith in their hearts, that they might lean upon thee and trust in thy name alone in all things. So, Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast brought us thus far. We do pray, Lord Jesus, be with us all our journey through. We think of the words of thy servant David indeed, having known those blessed and wonderful truths in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, oh, forever. Lord, oh, may that be our portion indeed. That may be a prospect before us to faith's view, and that we may be helped, Lord Jesus, to journey on and toward the mark, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do then, Lord, work in us thy will and power, and help us to submit to thy will. Whatsoever path, Lord, thou wilt bring us to pass through. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for much needed grace, and that we may be enabled, Lord Jesus, to go forth in thy name. We think, Lord, of the path that thou didst walk out for us, for poor, guilty, ruined sinners. Oh, such an afflictive path, scorned and mocked, as we read this morning. How many scorn thee, Lord, and oh, how many indeed turned against thee, that thou, Lord, wast that one who was a companion to publicans and sinners. Oh, that, Lord, they were the sick ones, the poorly ones, or those that felt their need as sinners, and yet fled to the physician. And yet the solemn truth that the scribes and the Pharisees, oh, they needed not the physician. They stood in their own self-righteousness. And, oh, the solemn truth in respect of that, that they could not see in those poor, needy sinners that new seed of heavenly birth where they were drawn to the physician to know his mercy and his cleansing precious blood to heal them from all their sins. Oh Lord, we do pray, help us then to continue as we are able from time to time to behold thee in that path that thou didst walk out for us to bring salvation to us. And O Lord, we remember, Lord, that it was a path that thou didst walk out for us, whilst indeed we were dead in trespasses and in sins, the wonderment of grace. Oh, we do pray that we might be helped to praise and to bless thee for the mercy that we have found in thee, Lord Jesus Christ, with thy people that gather together here. O Lord, hear all their prayers and petitions that are offered up to thee. And we do pray, Lord, that they might also know in the midst of them the precious truths of thy gospel preached, and that Christ may be revealed as that one indeed, the Saviour of sinners, and that one who is able to come to all the needs and the concerns of thy people. Oh, do help, Lord, each one of us, that we might continue to venture to the throne of grace, casting all our care upon thee, for thou carest for us. We do pray then, Lord, all the evil and the wickedness, Lord, that is in this world, those things, Lord, of recent time, the atrocities, the awfulness of men's hearts by nature. O Lord, oh, do come, Lord, in thy rich mercy. Oh, that thou wouldest, Lord, in thy power. Oh, that there may, Lord, be that change wrought, we pray thee. Lord, we know, Lord, that man left to himself is found, Lord, in the wretchedness of an awful nature. Oh, but do come, Lord, rule and overrule, and where sin abounds, let thy grace much more abound. O Lord, we pray. We do believe, Lord, that in all these things and all the awfulness that is brought to pass upon families and children, Lord, oh, the solemn truth, Lord, of those awful crimes and committed, Lord, families destroyed and broken up. And Lord, oh, we do pray, Lord, come in thy rich mercy, Lord. We do believe the wars and rumours of wars. Lord, do bring us prayerfully, Lord, to consider thy word in respect of these things, that truly that time is closing up when thou wilt come again the second time without sin unto salvation. O Lord, we do pray then, draw near, Lord, and show compassion, pity and mercy upon many, Lord, who have been very solemnly, Lord, distressed and bereaved, we pray thee. We do pray, Lord, preserve and keep us in this nation of ours. Lord, we have known much of thy favour, much of thy mercy, much godliness and the fear of the Lord in the hearts of men and women. Oh, there is a decline now, Lord, and thy spirit is gone out of the land. Oh, do, Lord, we pray, appear again. Preserve and keep this little nation, we pray thee, Lord. And do come and raise up faithful men and women in government to rule, Lord, over us. And that, Lord, that they might be those with thy fear in their hearts, and look towards the scriptures, look, Lord, to those things that are pleasing unto thee, and reverse those things that have come in and amongst us as a people, and which are an abomination unto thee, we pray. Oh, do come, Lord, in the riches of thy grace, and oh, that thy grace indeed may be a grace in this nation to reveal thyself. Lord, we do pray, Lord, come and grant, Lord, that thou wilt rule and overrule, and that there may be a godliness restored in this nation of ours. Be with us now, Lord, help thy servant to speak in thy name, and teach him what to say, Lord. Direct him, lead him by thy Spirit, Lord, and open the hearts of thy people here to hear thy word, Lord, that it may be a good word and a profitable word to the glory of thy name. And we ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 882. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God desires to give. Long as they live should Christians pray, for only while they pray they live. Hymn 882.
kingly help. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, and then reading together from verse 15. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, reading from verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is a wonderful chapter. It is found enclosed in this second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. It really and truly shows to us those things that were readily found in the heart and in the mind of Paul. He knew one blessed and glorious truth, the truth of his immortality. And that is a blessing to the soul of any man or woman. It means this, dear friends, in that great day, being found incorrupt and all immortal and perfect and whole and complete in Jesus. And his mind was often drawn to the truth and the blessing of this. And I'm sure that it supported and strengthened his faith as he journeyed and passed through so much affliction and trouble and trial in the preaching of the gospel. But Paul, he looked to the recompense of the reward, the blessing that belonged to him. Nothing that he earned or deserved. Holy, through grace, that divine change wrought in his soul by the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that truly gave unto him the promise of eternal life. So in this chapter, Paul, his poor mind was in a very wonderful place, but it was settled, it was firm. And it was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul can write and he can exhort and encourage the saints also, because these things also belong to each and every one, the Lord's dear people. I just want to continue our thoughts in respect of faith that we spoke of this morning. Believe ye that I'm able to do these things. Yea, Lord. Well, may the Lord bless us with faith. Faith to entrust our all and everything upon him. And you know, I thought in respect of these words of our text, and that he died for all. See that wonderful faith that the dying thief had towards that dying man beside him, that deformed body, that broken up body, that crucified body, that bruised body. See the wonderful faith that was blessed to the dying thief. See the wonderful prayer that he sought for that dear dying man beside him. See his faith in him. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, that his faith was fixed in that dying man. And yet what wonderful faith that he certainly knew the truth that was revealed to him through the Spirit of the Lord, that he was going to embrace a kingdom. And we just mentioned this morning of those two blind men. Jesus, thou Son of David. Wasn't that the truth, the promise that was given to David? He rejoiced in his own soul in respect of it, that he that should come forth through his loins should reign forever upon his throne, a kingdom. Well, this dying thief, dear friends, that wretched man, lived a life of sin, and yet in those last few moments upon the cross, the Lord changed him. The Lord came to him. The Lord showed to him his need as a sinner. He was brought to confess that he was, yes, worthy of that justice that was due upon him for his crimes. A lawbreaker. Not that being a thief justified death according to the Jewish law. But he'd become a murderer, you see, in respect of his occupation. And he was crucified. But the Lord came. And that he died for all. He died for that wretched man. That awful man that must have caused havoc and disturbance, distress to so many lives and families, a thief. And yet mercy came to him. And we can see the freeness of God's love, his grace. It's absolutely full and free, sovereign, that God should look down upon him, and that that man's name was recorded in heaven before time began. Isn't this the wonderment of grace, following the life that he lived? Yes. This is the grace of God, dear friends. And he gave him to Jesus before time began. And here upon the cross, yes, Jesus received him in the covenant of grace. But in the personal experience of this dying thief, he received him to fulfill the covenant of grace, because it will never fail. What was ordered in truth and love and grace before time began will be fulfilled in time, will come to pass. And this dear man cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I do believe that it may be here that there may be a hope, dear friends, for any poor seeking sinner. It isn't what we have done, what we have deserved, what we have merited, not this grace. It's what Jesus came to do for us. That is the difference, that is the grace. He came to cover all this man's sins, and he covered them. Because he laid down his life for this man. And that he died for all. All what? He died for all sinners, but he didn't die for all man. We may just notice this here. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and that he died for all those who heard and received and were blessed by the gospel, whose lives were changed, whose hearts were renewed, whose sins were pardoned, and that he died for all. He died for sinners, dear friends. And he died for these, that they which live, this is the difference, dear friends, they that live. That's the difference, dear friends. This is the church, this is the election of God's grace. Those that live, they were dead, and now they live. And that he died for all. Dear friends, is there a secret prayer dropped into thy poor soul that you might be found in this word, a part of it, and that he died for all, for my poor soul, unworthy me? That dying thief, dear friend, there was no worthiness in him. No. All his worthiness was in Jesus. And that he died for all. But see that man's faith. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, dear friends, That truth belonged to that dying man, that dying thief. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Lord, remember me. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? It was in his cry, wasn't it? Lord, remember me. Yes, he believed. Faith was strong in that dear man. It was God-given. It was a faith, dear friends, consistent with his need as a sinner. And he was a great sinner, and he had great faith. And that he died for all. He died for that man. And yes, he died for all. The election of grace. That number. I was speaking at this afternoon at Ashwell, and I just saw a word that may be applicable to these words of our text. I wasn't speaking from Psalm 87, but there was a word there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. See this dying thief, dear friends, but see the whole church, all written, their names recorded in heaven, enrolled in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. Dear friends, is this a need in thy soul? And that he died for all? I preach like this because there wasn't a need in my soul. And so a little like unto Paul, I believe that I have the authority to exhort. That he died for all. And dear friends, the mass of thy sins, the mass of thy sins, Jesus covereth. His precious blood blotteth out forever. So that their name should never be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. And that he died for all. And he laid down his life for that dear man. And he laid down his life for the church. So lovingly and willingly. He cried, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost. that was a perfect offering and sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his church. And his heavenly Father, oh, it was well pleasing to him. It was the smell of a sweet odour, the sacrifice that Jesus made for his church and people. Perfect obedience in the dear Lord in that sacrifice. He saw of the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. The sins of the church were all put away. The heavenly seed will all be gathered in by and through the gospel. They will all be saved. Jesus shall indeed, through his precious blood, be that one to gather in through the gospel the fruits of his sufferings and death. And that he died for all. And it's all, dear friends, from beginning of time to the end of time, all. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It always has been from the beginning of time. It will be to the end of time. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, it must be so. And that he died for all. And then this truth in respect of this, dear friends, he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Let us just see this word here in Romans chapter 5. There's another place also. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that he died for all, that they which live, dear friends, it is a life spiritual, a life restored, a life brought back. Think of the ruin of the fall, dear friends. Death was in every part of it, dear friends. Our first parents transgressed. They broke a law. The law, a covenant of works. And all obey and die, disobey and live. Obey and live, disobey and die. And dear friends, we all died as we were born in sin, born into this world with the Adam nature, all died. But now this truth, and that he died for all, that they which live. Oh, that change wrought in the soul, dear friends. Lost and is found again. Dead and is alive again. This is the mercy. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel that is preached today. That grace that can change sinners. That grace that can pardon crimson sins. That grace that can bring us into newness of life. That grace that can make us into new creatures. Oh, this is the blessing, this is the mercy. It is a spiritual life. A spiritual life. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. They are quickened together, quickened into newness of life. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Dear friends, when you hear these words, may the Lord open your hearts to hear them and to receive them, because this is mercy. This is mercy for the Lord to come and effectually work in the heart and soul of any poor sinner, and through his Spirit to teach them and to know their sin, and to feel after him and to seek him, to pray to him for that mercy that flows through his precious blood, and this divine change, a new life, a life of grace in the soul, a life of faith in the soul, a life of the Spirit of the Lord in the soul. And that is what we want, dear friends. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. No more, dear friends. What was the word of Paul? That I might forget those things that are behind. Oh, dear friends, forget those things that are behind. Reach forth to those things that are before. Oh, that is the life of grace in his soul, and that will be the life of grace in our poor souls, dear friends. Reaching forth, you see, not labouring in this world and held down in this world, not again to live to this world and live to our sins and live to the pleasures of this life. No, forgetting those things that are behind. Oh, we will need grace, dear friend. Should not live to ourselves anymore, not live to the flesh, dear friends. No, the Lord has taken our cause in hand. We belong to him now, you see, dear friends. He has bought us with a price, the price of his own heart's blood. Oh, that is the blessing, isn't it? We belong to Christ, divine ownership, under the blessings of a God in covenant with his people. Oh, this is the life, dear friends, a life of grace, a life of mercy, and here upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Oh, you know, dear friends, to see our great deliverance, when we see, dear friends, the vanities of this life, what do we say at times, dear friends? My poor soul, there go I, but for the grace of God. You see, delivered, mercifully delivered, mercifully brought away, you see, from this world, all its wretchedness, you see, not again living to ourselves, living to the dictates of our own hearts, not following our own course in this world, that way that seemeth to be right unto a man, and the end thereof leadeth unto death. You see, no more. It was so, wasn't it? But no more. Grace has changed us. Grace has renewed us. And grace, dear friends, has given to us a love and a desire and affection for the Lord. The grace that has brought our love constrained to him. You see, the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, the greatness of this love, dear friends, superabounds over everything that we were by nature. Oh, what a mercy it is that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We have to learn this, dear friends. We have to learn this. David, he loved his Lord. Oh, he did. He loved his Lord. We can see it in the Psalms. Psalm 119, but many more. But David, faith wasn't always strong. Oftentimes, his faith came to a very low ebb. He one day thought that he would perish at the hands of Saul. He wasn't living to the Lord, and he fled to Achish, king of Gath. Dear friends, we have to learn not to live to ourselves anymore. No, but to serve the Lord, to come to him, because, you know, he wants to manage for us. He wants to do for us, dear friends. He has purchased us with his precious blood, and he wants to manage for us. He wants to do all for us. And, dear friends, the more humble we are, and the more poor we are, and the more helpless we are, then, dear friends, that will be the best for us. That will be the best. Because we will never be able to depend upon ourselves. No. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Oh, may we be enabled to live to Christ, to serve him. You know, Lot's wife looked back, didn't she? She looked back. Oh, the solemn truth, dear friends. It's a coming out. Completely. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. No more. No more. There's nothing, dear friends, in this world for a poor sinner. Nothing at all. No. There's nothing to look to, dear friends. Nothing for faith. Nothing to encourage our faith. Nothing to live upon spiritually and inwardly in our soul. There's nothing here, dear friends. We've been brought out, dear friends, because Jesus has everything that we want, everything that we need, spiritually and everlastingly. Yes. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. And dear friends, I beg of each of you, and our young people, changes are coming into your lives. Education, going forth into some vocation, changes. But this I say, if you've had a love to come to the Lord's house, if you've had a love to hear the gospel preached, then, dear friends, as you go forth into this world, live unto Christ. Come to him about everything. Tell him all thy heart, all thy needs. He wants to hear it. Dear friends, when it comes to making decisions, come to him. We need grace and wisdom. Solomon needed it. We need it. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. Oh, what a wonderful word this is. But unto him, unto Jesus. We've been brought to him. We belong to him. He owns us. And we should live to him and serve him. We will need grace. How are we going to do it? How are we going to live to him? Faith. The just shall live by faith. That is one blessing. Don't live to this world now, dear friends. By faith upon Jesus. What was the blessing that came to Paul and to each and every one? of the Lord's dear people. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith, God-given faith, to live upon the Lord. Dear friends, he isn't going to shed his blood for us, to cleanse us and to heal us. Dear friends, without holding us to him, no, he gives faith. Faith to take up our cross and to follow him. Faith, dear friends, to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Faith to follow him in his will and his purposes concerning us, whatever they may be, but faith in him. And we will have to ask the Lord his will and his purposes concerning us. We've been singing of prayer. How are we going to be able to serve the Lord and follow him and live to him? Prayer. The faith of prayer. The poor sinner will often be found at the throne of grace. It's one of the greatest branches of our worship. Prayer. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in respect of this truth. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We'll live to him. Everything, it says, everything. And then, as we mentioned this morning, if ye ask anything in my name, well, this confirms it, doesn't it? You see, everything. Don't leave anything out. The little bits, dear friends, everything. To live to him and to serve him. And I believe, dear friends, it will be worship will be different to what it was before, as we were found in the days of our unregeneracy. Worship, yes. We will seek to follow the Lord in the ordinances of his house. Yes, baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Yes, we will be those who will please him, who will live to him in respect of these things. They live to the Lord. They live for his house. They delight in his house. One thing have I desired, that shall I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, dear friends, the Lord's house. Oh, let it be a place, dear friends, yes, special to our poor souls. Let it be that place, dear friends, where Jesus will come and meet with us and dwell in the midst of us, the twos and the threes, to come to our case and to our need, to live to the Lord. You know, when the Lord came with his word to me that we should be removed from the West Midlands, from the West Yorkshire to the West Midlands, I had to follow in his will, live to the Lord, live unto him, because his word directed me and instructed me. His word is a lamp and a light to our feet and path to lead us and to direct us. Come to his word. Come to the scriptures of truth. We live unto him. This is where he speaks to us. This is where he speaks to us through the gospel. But friends, take up the scriptures wherever we are, in our homes, because the Lord speaks to us here. If you have a need, or you need to seek the Lord over a matter, come to him by prayer, but this is where he will answer us. One of the things that concerned me when he bid me to go to the West Midlands, I wanted to know where I should worship him and where I should become a member. And for this reason, that I should continue in the ordinances of his house, and particularly the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, because we live to him. He has given us that ordinance, dear friends, that we should remember him. And dear friends, when we are brought to consider the cross and those things that Jesus passed through and endured for our souls, yes, to remember him, what it cost him to put away our sins, what he passed through, we cannot tell. But that was one desire. Live to him, you see. A first desire, a first prayer, when the Lord would remove me to the West Midlands. I wanted to know where he would settle me. And I came by prayer, and he answered me. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. And then, dear friends, we will have to continue to worship him and to serve him in the ordinances of his house, as I say, by prayer, and then also to take up the scriptures of truth. Let the house of prayer, the Lord's house, be that first place, dear friends. The psalmist here puts it here first in this way. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Now, it doesn't mean to say he doesn't love the dwellings of Jacob. He does. He loves us in our homes. He has put us there by and through his providence. He has placed us there. And he hears our prayers morning and evening. He hears and sees our reading of the scriptures morning and evening. And he delights to be where his people are. And our prayers and petitions are heard and received by him. He loves, yes, he loves the truth of this. He loves the dwellings of Jacob. And so there, this will be that change. Blessed to us that we should live unto him, live unto him, unto him. But he put the house first, the house first. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Dear friends, neglect not the gates of Zion. Neglect not to come together in the name of the Lord, to assemble together. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We live to him. We live to glorify him and to serve him, to be found in his house of prayer. And as oft as it is possible, you see, as oft as it is possible, because we put Christ first, you see, and so he should be first, first and foremost in all things. Should not live unto themselves, but unto him. And then, to walk out that way and path that he has ordained for us here below may not always be a comfortable path, a smooth path. No. Must not expect it to be so. It was never a smooth path for the dear Lord Jesus, comfortable path. I think of that word in Peter, I think it's 2nd of Peter. If I can just... No, it's the 1st of Peter, chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. How Christ suffered and he endured affliction here below. He was oppressed, he was scorned, as we read this morning. But see how he endured, see how he continued, see how he suffered, you see. And then this truth: for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Not Christ, that word. Christ never knew sin, but the church. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live to the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. To the will of God. No longer living to this world, no longer pleasing men of this world, no, but living to the will of God. See the will of God in respect of Job. See how Job was resigned to the will of God. You know, he was a man indeed that humbled. He had a true spirit of grace. And his wife said to him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." He'd lost everything, dear friends, in a moment of time. His house, his family, everything that he had, the cattle, his servants. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." You know, she just hadn't got that grace at this time. I do believe she was a goodly woman. I do. Because he says to her this truth, that she spake as one of the foolish women, meaning the worldly women. And she wasn't one of those. "Thou speakest as the foolish women." No, I believe she was a renewed soul. But she just hadn't got this grace. It just over what came upon Job came upon her also. And she just wasn't able to receive it at that time. But then he says unto her, "What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Dear friends, let us be reconciled to the way and path that the Lord has ordained for us to pass through. You know, it will be a good path. We'll know more of Christ, his love and his mercy in the time of trouble and affliction, you see, because he is faithful, he is true, and he will bear us up, he will support us, and he will strengthen us. He did Job. He'd lost everything, you see. And yet the Lord preserved him, gave him that necessary faith. And he knew this truth: when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, let us be helped to follow in the Lord's will, because we live to him. And he knows what is good for us. And if he will afflict us, dear friends, it will be good for us, because it will bring us to him. It will. So this is our mercy. May we be enabled, dear friends, to live to him in all our path, all our trials, all our difficulties. Whatever is before us, never let us blame anyone else, dear friends. Let us look at first causes. It is the Lord. But live unto him. Oh, what a mercy. And then this truth. Just two thoughts. We commit our never dying immortal soul unto him. Dear friends, just as in that believing faith in his name. If I can just find it, I think it's in the second of Timothy. For the which cause I also suffer these things. You know, Paul suffered much for the name and the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Suffered much. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, I know in whom I have believed. Dear friends, as we journey on, let us commit our never dying immortal souls unto him that gave it to us. You see, it's safe with him, and it will be good, because Paul knew that there awaited for him a crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness, heaven and glory. And then, dear friends, let us live unto him. Just two thoughts. David, as the fire burned, came to this meditation. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. We're living unto him. The Lord, he didn't want to know the exact number of his days. He wanted to know how frail he was. But he was in the hands of the Lord. And he knew that all his times was in his hand. His minutest circumstance was with the Lord. But he wanted to know this truth. Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Dear friends, you see, to live unto the Lord in respect of this truth, ourselves and our days. We do not know the number of the days that the Lord will give to us. May the Lord help us to live to him in respect of them. You see, they're with him, they're in his hand. But what a mercy to commit all to him. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How can we apply our hearts unto wisdom? See that truth in respect of this word here, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. As he laid down his life, dear friends, for his people. Or, just thinking of that word in Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. If we're risen with Christ, dear friends, a new life of grace in the soul, live unto him. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things that are above and not on the earth, you see. And that is wisdom, living unto him. Oh, may we be helped, dear friends, to find and to seek more of that time of living unto him, because we do not know, dear friends, our days here below. But may the Lord come and give to us some further enjoyment, some further peace, some further happiness of those that belong to the Lord. May they be able to contemplate their heaven, you see. That is what we want, isn't it? Our end. And then this truth, then I will close. It's in the 14th of Romans. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. How precious that word is, dear friends. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Isn't that the mercy? But living on to him which died for them and rose again. Oh, this truth again, enforced as it were. Something so special about the death of Christ, isn't there? We were quickened together with him. And as Christ rose again from the dead, so the church will rise with him, no more to live in their sins and no more to live to the world, you see. Risen, gathered out, brought out. This is the mercy. Well, may the Lord help us to continue and to live each day unto him. And whatever it is, dear friends, our needs, our concerns, afflictions, troubles, trials, whether we seek the Lord that he will lead us and direct us in a way and path here below, come to the Lord. Live to him, you see. Commit everything to him, because he owns us, dear friends. We belong to him, bought with a price. Price of his own heart's blood, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £2,729, which collection was for the persecuted in Iraq, and for which we would be thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach tomorrow at our special services. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And God willing, Mr. John Hart will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and present Bibles to those who have been awarded under the Trinitarian Bible Society Scripture Learning Scheme. Let us close with hymn 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. Hymn 977.
bless the services of thy house this day and all that has been to the honour and glory of thy great name. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety, and be with us in all our path here below. And help us also to commit our way to thee. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.